Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, August the 2nd, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 75, reading the third paragraph, Returning Home We Find. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., and readers of the text, Barbara W., Sandy K., and Betsy H. The reference numbers for Sunday, August the 1st, the special edition, 17463. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Monday, August the 2nd, 17466. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Karen W. will read the 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service and thank everybody for your service. Have a wonderful meeting. Bye.
Thank you very much, Karen W., for reading those. And whoever's going to be reading the 12 traditions, would you please start that now?
Good morning, Melanie. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. Thank you for your service this morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service this morning.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. And as we wait for Lynn S. to come back up on the line here, I'm going to do some reading. And that goes like this. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and this would be the star 1 key function only, please, on your phone to keep the line nice and quiet for the recording as well. So let me see here. I'm going to lean on y'all here for a moment because Lynn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Would you jump in, please, with the page number and who's going to start us off?
Yeah, I'm trying
to. Reading that paragraph. Okay.
Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me now?
I sure can.
Okay, we're on page 75, the third paragraph, Returning Home We Find, and Barbara W. to read for us, please.
Yes, good morning. Barbara W. from the state of Washington. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask that if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free woman, a man, at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Well, one thing that jumps out at me is the word arch. And my brother lives in St. Louis, where there is, of course, a beautiful arch in the downtown area near the river. And an arch through which all people have moved west and how our country has developed. It's a connecting point. And I see an arch for me or for any of us that work are working a program. An arch, it has to be something I walk through every day in my mind and in my heart, of course. And I've always believed that with the depth and the depth of my connection with my my higher power, whom I choose to call God. That arch is, to me, is figurative. It's something I know, in my, like I said, in my heart. I don't have to see it physically. I can visualize it and wake up every morning and remember that when I swing my feet around on the floor and stand up, put on my house shoes and walk through that arch every morning. And for that, I am grateful. Oh, quiet for an hour means to listen, means I must listen. I have to be quiet, and I will admit, I have a very challenging time getting rid of the chatter in my mind. And I think of music, I think of songs that have inspired me or just touched my heart in some way. And some of that music starts playing, and I don't know how it happened, but maybe it's the arch, who knows. But I truly want to. I just sit. Actually, I'm usually in my bed next to my animals, my dog and cat. And stilling my mind, asking God to still my mind, still my thoughts, quiet the music, quiet the chatter or the dreams I may have had during the night, and allow me to walk again, once again, through that arch and really make sure that my connection with God has that strong cement in its foundation, and it's very strong. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Barbara W. from Washington. We're going to open up the lines now for additional comments on that paragraph. Page 75, paragraph 3, starting with returning home. Going to pack that one today. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, your state if you'd like to, and I can take it down those names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. I'm ready to take some names.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Sandy K.
Hey, Sandy K.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Brandy M. Okay, I hear the tick, 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 and let's get on it, okay? So we don't spend any more time here. We got Jody H., Sandy K., Deborah G., and Brandy M. We'll start in that order, and then we'll pick up some more. Hi, Jody. You're first for three. Want to press star one, please?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can. What state, if you want?
Okay. My name is Jody H. I'm from the state of Maine. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I love this paragraph. It's one of my favorite. I'd like to say that the continuity of this book builds on each other as we go through the steps. And in the previous paragraph, it says, we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain beliefs, spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. And then it enters this paragraph, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. This spiritual experience that this big book is trying to lead us into is key to our relationship with our higher power and with our abstinence. And I'm finding, not only for myself, but for those who I sponsor, that it is a challenge sometimes in this busy world to to be able to find a place where we could be quiet for an hour. And so what I do for myself is I have a piece of paper and a pencil and or pen, and if I start getting some chatter in my brain, I just make a quick note and write down this thing. Usually it's something I need to get done that day, or something that I'm looking for, or an important fact. So I write them down, and then I return to my quiet time. And what I recommend for my sponsees is just try 5 minutes of quiet time. And then the next week, try 10 minutes of quiet time. And it's vital for us to build on whatever spiritual experience you each individual is having. Our spiritual experiences are different according to our own beliefs. And these spiritual experiences is what's going to keep us abstinent. And I'm really grateful for this big book. And I want to say that I'm really, I'm empowered by this quiet time, not only for just reviewing after the fifth step, but for my everyday devotionals with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody H. from Maine. Sandy K., you're up next.
Thank you.
Deborah will follow you.
Okay. This is Sandy K. I'm recovered compulsive overeater calling from Florida. I remember the first fourth step I did, and my sponsor said to me, like I think someone just said, but my sponsor said to me, find a quiet place and read the paragraph, that last paragraph on page 75. And I did. I was really fortunate because where I live, there are some beautiful places no matter what time of year it is. And I remember going to a park and sitting by some water. And honestly, I'm not sure if I was there an hour, but I was there at least a half hour. And I reflected on what I had told somebody. And what I felt was, and given to my higher power. And what I felt for the first time was that I can walk through that arch with no secrets. I had given up my, what I thought were at the time, embarrassing things that I said. And I was felt free and looked forward to doing the next step. And I did go back and take a look at the first five steps in my quiet time with my higher power and made sure that I had not forgotten anything. And the end of that paragraph says that were my stones properly in place? No, all my stones were properly in place. I didn't feel like I skimped on anything, even though I may have wanted to, I didn't. And it was just a freedom. And I felt connected a little bit more to my newly found higher power. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Sandy K. from Florida. Next up is Deborah G. from Arizona. You have 3 minutes, then Brandy's going to come in after you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Melanie and Lynn, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And what a beautiful way to end doing that fourth and fifth step experience. And I really had the awareness and awakening that I wanted to have a transformation with doing these steps, that change. And I wanted to have a deeper relationship with that loving power presence in step two. So after doing this work and looking at the work that I did, I love having that time to take myself in meditation to that presence, that loving presence and power, realizing how much power that power has, and letting it have its way with me. and just waiting and listening to see what comes up. Because I don't know the not knowing, but I do know that when I do that, I have the awakening. I have the experience, that spiritual awakening, the spiritual experience that happens that they talk about continually throughout doing these steps. And I'm so grateful that there is a way to do that. So I don't have to go to the food anymore. You know, I don't want to go to the food. I want to go to this place that I'm having, to this experience that I'm having with these beautiful 12 steps. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that share this morning. Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Brandy M. from Canada. She's going to share for 3 minutes, and then she's going to step in to moderate. Thanks so much. Hey, Brandy, you're three.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Brandy, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for your service. So this paragraph really, you know, I didn't know what it was like to be quiet. I didn't know what it was like to sit. And so, you know, when my sponsor said, go take that hour when you return home, again, this was part of the directions that I missed for so long. And so, you know, it's pretty clear here in what we need to do in the hour. You know, we need to sit, we need to go through the first 5 proposals, you know, go through the work that we've done. Like, these are big things. You know, was there anything in my 4-step that I left out? You know, because going back to the fact that as an addict, I'm a liar. I'm, you know, I want to leave stuff out. I'm embarrassed. I don't always want to tell the truth. My first go-to is kind of to tell a story before the truth. And so, you know, was there any of that in my 4-step? And, you know, for a lot of years there was. I didn't tell and I didn't say the things I needed to say. And, you know, this last time that I do, or now that I do them now, it's like, no, I need to be like brutally honest, like entirely honest. And so, you know, just bringing all that I got forward. And, you know, even if there's fear, even if there's like, oh, you know, like, what are the consequences going to be on that? Like, what kind of amends am I going to have to make? Because a lot of times I didn't want to say stuff because I would have to make an amends and I was scared to make that amends. And today I just, you know, trust that God has me and that the amends, you know, that's in step 9. I don't have to worry about that at this point. And, you know, it talks about here, have we skimped on the cement putting into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar out of sand? Like, so if I do that, that means that the cement is going to crack. You know, it's going to be shaky. It's not solid. And so, you know, I have to bear the entire open, honest, you know, and put this forward. And so for me, this hour is really important because, you know, it is building the foundation of what I'm going to, you know, do in the later steps and, you know, building that staircase, right? And so with that, I'll pass. And with that, we will take more names to share. Who would like to share with us this morning? Is there one to unmute?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Karen R.
Karen R. Anyone else?
Adele R.
Adele R.
Sal N.
Sal N. We have room for a couple more if anyone wants to jump in. Okay, well, let's
Jerry
not waste
T.
any... Oh, sorry, Jerry T?
Yes.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes. Okay, Donna B., if you want to start us off, followed by Karen R. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. I do spell my name D-A-N-A. Although pronounced Donna. One of the things that strikes me in this paragraph this morning is that it says we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. And this, to me, implies that in the process of doing step four and five, by just doing those steps, I somehow got to know my higher power better. And I don't know if that's always been apparent to me, that the message here is, it doesn't say you know, you might know him better, you could ask to know him better. It says that you will, that we're thanking him because inevitably it did happen. So there's something in the process of pocketing my pride. There's something in the process of sharing my fourth step with another person that inevitably creates an experience where I'm drawing closer to my higher power and that I'm getting to know my higher power better. And I think that continues to be true as I live in the steps. I am somebody who's very honest with where I am on a daily basis. When I have the desire to volume eat, which I still do have on occasion, I reach out to other people. I say, I want to volume eat, and I may share some additional details as to what's going on in my head or what my disease is saying to me. Doing 10 steps, there's so many opportunities on a daily basis in practicing these steps that I can continue to reveal every nook and cranny to my fellows. And there's a message of hope and a promise that in being transparent, in sharing my truth with others, I'm just going to inevitably get to know this higher power better. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. All right, next up I have Aaron R.
Hi, I'm Erin R. From Chicago. I'm alcoholic and binger and restrictor. And I just so appreciate this meeting every morning because I feel like it's like the graduated version. It's people who, you know, really are telling the truth and being honest. And there's just so much wisdom in this meeting. And I'm not new to OA, and I've been sober for a really long time, but I'm just now really starting to get serious about it, and I've been in the program now, this time around, since about when the pandemic started, so a little over a year, and I just got a food plan, and I'm more uncomfortable than I've like ever been. And it's just this constant, like, I can't do it. Like, this is stupid. Like, I'm suffering more than I was before. You know, and I'm not at the fourth step, in this program. I've done fourth steps in, AA, but it's just, you know, is this really a problem? That's, you know, where I'm at, because sometimes I can, you know, control it, and I know that's one of the biggest things is, you know, controlling it and finding the higher power and asking, you know, for the help. But I'm just in such this state of like, ugh, is it really that bad? Should I just like fold it up? You know, I've gone this far. Maybe I'll just, you know, focus more on AA and then it'll all figure itself out. But it's just frustrating. And deep down, I'm like, yes, it is a problem. But then I, you know, how you hear, you know, when people are sharing their experience, it's like, well, I wasn't that bad. So, you know, but just like AA, it's progressive. So I'm sure it'll get worse. But I'm just in that, you know, that middle area of like, ugh, like, do I continue? Do I not? So I'm just, I guess, committing that, you know, I am going to continue like just for today. And just, you know, the help and the wisdom that I hear in this meeting really helps, just, you know, to remember that it really is like sometimes a moment at a time. And just because I'm uncomfortable, you know, doesn't mean that I'm doing it wrong. It just means, you know, there's more room for improvement, and just to like invite God in, because so much of it is just, well, okay, I'm inviting God in, I'm praying and nothing's happening. And I have to remember that, you know, working the program, you know, you get the happy, joyous, and free by a by, you know, with the byproduct of working this program, and I guess I really need to commit again today. So grateful to be on this meeting, and thank you again so much.
Thank you, Erin R. Stick around to the end and leave your number. I next have Jerry P. Jerry P., do you want to share with us? Star 1 to unmute.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for doing service this morning and the great shares. This is Jerry P. from Arizona. Wow, talk about being what you're needing to hear, what you need to hear. All the times I've done these steps, I remember sitting every morning for my quiet hour and they'll just sit there and wait for my hour, as my sponsor had asked me to do. But I never really connected with God as I understood him to be. And after reading this paragraph, I realized it really jumped off at me when it says, have you tried to make mortar without sand? And the answer is yes. All these years, I never saw it like I heard it this morning. You know, I was plugged into a meeting a day. I was plugged into my sponsor every day. And looking back, I think I made her my higher power. Calling 3-4 fellow travelers every day. Just always plugged in. But that doesn't mean I was plugged into my higher power. It doesn't mean I was having a conscious contact with God. I was always told the most important part of this program is your abstinence. And no matter what, only focus on your food. And for years, that's what I did, and I really thought I was recovered. But the truth was, I was I-powered. I was not God-powered. I was not higher power-powered. I was I-powered. And I focused on my abstinence, not the spirituality. And after hearing this morning, boy, oh boy, my eyes are wide open. Holy smokes. So I'm so grateful to hear everything I heard. I need some sand in that mortar of mine, and I need to begin a new foundation. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. I now have Adele R. followed by Sal N. Good morning, Adele.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You can.
Thank you. Hi, this is Adele R. I'm in Kansas City. Thank you, everybody, for your service and the shares. Just so struck this morning with, like, I find myself in this paragraph, I remember sharing my inventory, and it's such a vulnerable time. I've just spoken my truths, my, like, intense things. And then my sponsor saying, you know, take an hour and read this paragraph. And then on page 59, you know, read the first 5 steps, and I just was like, oh, I find myself here at this step, and I'm so aware of, like, this book is telling me, this book is walking me through an experience, and the forward to the first edition says to show alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And I feel so held in the description, in the instructions, in the promises, in the prayers. And today I'm just so grateful that I can turn to paragraphs in this book and really rely on the instructions. And that I just think of so many people who have held this book in their hand in times and have changed their lives. And I am just so grateful. And I pass.
Thank you, Adele. All right, so now we'll have Sal N, followed by Jerry T. Sal N, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How is everyone? God bless you, and thanks for what you're doing. Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yeah, loud and clear. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, you know, that phase of working the steps for me was... My experience was that early on, I started having the awakening, and it is as if, you know, I was feeling, I was getting all the good stuff before I even worked through some of the steps, it was kind of confusing. But then when I got to that point, you know, I wanted the fireworks to go off, and it was kind of like, well, you know, yeah, it was peaceful, and you know, it was a nice experience, a little embarrassing, you know, anytime you have to show your insides to the public or someone, even though it's a person you trust and have confidence in. And when I came home, I did as instructed by my sponsor, and I had that time. And it was a beautiful, peaceful time. It is as if I had been transported from, you know, the land of compulsive eating and constant nag and gnawing on me of the food to just being okay, you know, and that's an understatement, because it's not just okay, it's great. This program's wonderful. Everything it says about it is true. And I have experienced all that, and I'm grateful, very, very grateful. So, you know, it means more to me than I can express, that this is the opportunity we have to have fellowship and participate in the meeting and share our thoughts and our recovery. So, very grateful. God bless, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Sal N. Next up, we have Jerry T. But before we get Jerry, I'll be taking another few names after that. And we're on page 75, paragraph 3, starting with returning home. So get ready to say your name. Good morning, Jerry. Star 1, Jerry T. Oh, maybe I have the other. You know what? Maybe we don't have a Jerry T, so we can take more names.
Hi, this is Ronnie B.
Ronnie B.
Diane. This is Diane.
What's your last name?
Ann from Georgia.
Okay. Anyone else?
Pam G.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Ronnie B, Diane N, and Pam G. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B in Missouri, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here. I think, you know, over the years of other programs, I have done numerous fourth steps and very beneficial. It's not like they were crap fourth steps. That would not be true. But what is true is that when I did my fourth step in A Vision for You, I remember saying to my sponsor at the time, well, this is going to be a pretty easy fourth step because, you know, I've done so very many before. And that's not the case. And it's not because the other fourth steps weren't good. It's because I was digging deeper. And each time I do something, I dig deeper. So what I found interesting is, yes, I did go back home. I mean, it was home. And read through the big book, read through those pages, and it took some time to reflect. And I did still have more. So, and I think if I did another fourth step today, I really think I would find more. But fortunately, a lot of what gets dealt with today is through the 10th step as a result of doing all the work prior to that. So I think having that quiet time allows me to not even so much say much, but to listen. You know, a big defect of character I've had for years and still surfaces more than I'd like is the inability to actually listen. I might hear something, but processing it and responding to it tells me I've listened. So, you know, my defects go very deep. So it should be no surprise when much more came up. And then today, I'd say the first 10 or 20, 10 steps I did were about things that were on my fourth step, just digging deeper each time. So it's a very worthwhile reading. It really helped me to do that, and I'm blessed to have, you know, a sponsor who let me go through that, and then continues, right? Because it continues. This doesn't end with that, which is why there's more steps afterwards. So there's that to look forward to, and I say that truthfully. So I'm just glad I'm here today. I've been on some meetings I've not been able to get in to share, and I'm grateful I could do that today, and to all of you who shared before me and will be after me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie B. All right, next up I have Diane N, followed by Pam G. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. My name is Diane N. I'm from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. And I just wanted to share that I am listening, and it is just so inspiring, so informative. I was reminded of, I had done a number of fourth steps as well and fifth steps, but the one that's very memorable to me is when my sponsor just kind of carried the last sponsor that I worked with that carried me through the steps. She followed, the difference was we followed the directions in the book where it says go home, where it asks all the questions. And even though I did that one, I think it was before Zoom, I mean, not before Zoom, but before the pandemic, but we did it over the phone. We were in different states. But she said, she gave me 1 hour, you know, like if my fifth step ended at 11:59, at 12:59, I had to call her back. I mean, it was just by the letter. I had to answer all of those questions. I had to follow the directions to do what it said to do during that 1 hour of quiet time. And it's a prayer, you know, praying, reading over the steps, and just following the basic directions. And I found that it just made such a difference in my recovery. And when I called her back, and it was more like a spiritual, it was so spiritual to me. It was as if I just, it made a difference in the way I had been doing them before. Before, a number of times, you know, I read that, and I just kind of read by it really fast, go back home for an hour, return home, take this book down. But I didn't follow the directions, and I am so grateful to her, that sponsor. I'm not even with her right now, but that made a difference. It was as if that was where my spiritual journey started, or maybe I was just in a different place. I don't know. All I know is that by following those directions today, as I reflect, it made such a big difference. And even when I sponsor people and I'm listening to their fifth steps, I always say, let's turn to the book, let's follow the directions. And they'll come back after that hour and tell me, you know, that they, you know, they'll describe, we'll answer the questions. And it's as if they too are getting that gift, you know, a spiritual. To me, it's spiritual, just like the big book says. And from there, you know, that was step five. We did six and seven. I mean, we just kind of went through the steps by the book, and it made a difference. And today, you know, like I said, I'm still grateful that I'm able to live in steps 10 through 12 every day. Even, you know, throughout the pandemic, my higher power has just, it's as if he's guided me and brought me through this pandemic absently, actually, you know, with weight loss. And so for that, I'm grateful today. And I'm grateful for you letting me share. I'm babysitting, so I'm glad the baby is quiet so I can talk. Thank you all for your service. Thank you all for 12-stepping me. Have a great day. Okay.
Thank you, Diane. All right, Pam G, let's take us out.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, I don't think I've maybe shared on this meeting once in months and months and months. And so this is, I heard this paragraph today, and I've heard some of the shares, and I've heard the space. I'm just really grateful to have an opportunity. And I really have appreciated what has been said here today. I have just finished a fourth and fifth step with a new sponsor. And I did not take the full hour afterwards. And I'm recognizing that as I'm in, I felt the relief and I felt gratitude. But the thing about that hour is it's going into deeper recovery versus just being in the relief. And so as I'm going into my step six, I'm noticing myself being kind of wimpy about my approach. It's been like pulling teeth, going and looking through things. And my sponsor has suggested that I really take a look if there's anything else on that is not on my list here. And this, what I've heard today, is just that really good reminder. You know, it just seems as though my journey in recovery here is continually, every single day, it's about some sort of surrender. And very oftentimes, the surrender is with my time. My self-will feels that it is more important to be productive, quote-unquote productive, and check things off my to-do list than to spend that extra few minutes of time with my higher power. So I did notice that I was, after my fourth and fifth step, I was not meditating as much. And I was saying I was doing it because I was doing more time with my step work. And instead, what I've been doing is taking that time in the morning and sitting quietly and letting my higher power come in and really listening for those extra pieces of what's not being addressed or where am I to go, what direction am I to follow today. So this is a really good reminder of my will showing up again and making choices.
Time, please.
Versus following the directions and listening with surrender. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book. I will ask Sandy K to please read Vision for You, page 164. Sandy, are you with us?
Yes, thank you very much. This is Sandy K, recovered from Florida. Our Big Book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.